150. Psalm 150, please. Psalm 150. The Bible said in verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that portion of Scripture in this morning hour. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You this morning for the Word of God that You've given us. For it has been a lamp unto my feet, Lord, and a light unto my path all of these years. And You've directed my, Lord, pilgrimage, and I want to thank You so much for it. I pray now that You would take Thy Word this morning and quicken it to every heart. And Lord, that You would open up our blinded eyes. Examine, Lord, our wounded spirits and hearts. And open up the windows of blessing. And bless us with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Help us today, Lord, to see why we are to praise the Lord God of hosts. I pray that You have saved sinners. I pray, Lord, You'd bless Your people, and then I ask You to help me, Lord, in body, mind, spirit, and soul today, and anoint me with that holy power of God, that I might preach Thy Word and give us liberty in this place, Lord, that hearts might be helped, and we'll thank You and praise You for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated this morning. I want to take our thought this morning out of verse number 6, where the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And then He said, praise ye the Lord. And I want to preach for a little while this morning on the thought of some things I want to praise Him for. There are some things that I want to praise God for. I want to say that everything is not darkness and doom. But as a child of God, do we live in a bright day here and our future is brighter down the road. And there are some things that we can praise Him for. May I say to you that the Bible commands us to praise God. And may I also say that He is worthy of our praise. Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor. And brother, in Revelation chapter number 4, they fall at His feet and praise Him who is worthy of praise and honor. And the psalmist here said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now my question to you is this morning, why are we not praising God? I'm telling you, if He has done great and mighty things for us, if His works has been excellent in our midst, if God has blessed us with salvation, if God has lifted us out of the dunghill, if God has saved us by His grace, if God has worked in our life and is working in our life, then why are we not praising the Lord? Amen to God. Now, I want to preach a little while on that, some things why I want to praise Him. There are some things and reasons why I want to praise God. Amen and amen. You know, I've said many times that old Dr. Oliver Green quotes that verse of Scripture. And Dr. Green had said, the Bible said, everything hath breath. Praise the Lord. If you don't want to praise Him, then drop dead. And I've wondered a great deal about that verse. And I didn't really study a great deal on it, but I did look at it a little bit this morning. And that word there, the word breath there, the word let everything that hath breath. That is the same word that is used in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7. When the Bible said that God created man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils what? The breath of life, and that man became a living soul. And so what the psalmist is saying, if you're a live human being, if you are alive this morning and on the face of the earth, brother, you ought to be a praising God. Amen! He's given you life in your lungs, given you an opportunity to be saved, prepared a place for you on the other side. Hallelujah! Let you walk in the land of the living and let you be born in the greatest country in all the world. And I'm here to tell you, we ought to be a praising God for what He's done for us. Amen. Son, I can tell every Sunday morning when some of you's had a fist fight before you got here. Amen. I can tell that you have. I can tell you got a little problem before you ever start Sunday school. I can tell what kind of mood you're in before we ever get underway. And I'm telling you, we let our mood determine our worship. And we let our disposition determine our praise. But I'm telling you, friend, whether we're sad or whether we're glad, or whether it's in season or out of season, we ought to just be a praising God for what He's done for us. Amen. So if we're a created being this morning, we ought to praise Him. But I could carry that a little bit further and say that we that have had the breath of God in salvation, for it was in the upper room that He breathed on those disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And brother, if we've got the breath of living life, I'm talking about eternal life. If we've been saved by the grace of God, then let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm about sick of a bunch of dead Baptists. Driving last year's bird's nest. Twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Stand up and testify out of your mouth how good God's been to you and saved you. And then we live and worship like God's dead and ain't done nothing in our life. Well, there's some things I won't praise Him for. That word praise, and I don't know why this number, but it's mentioned 13 times in that one little 6 verses. That we ought to praise Him. Ought to praise Him. Hallelujah to God. Mentioned 13 times there. And one of the definitions of it is to be clear. Now, I'm going to tell you what, friend, I want to praise Him because I want it to be clear whose side that I'm on. Now, I want sinners to know where I'm living. I don't want you to have any doubt who my God is, who my Lord is. I'm not worshiping a dead God. I'm not worshiping an idol. I'm not worshiping a totem pole. I'm worshiping, my friend, the living God that came to this earth in power and glory and died on an old rugged cross and rose again from the grave. And He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's not a dead God. He's a living Lord this morning. Amen. That's right. I don't want the world out there to think I'm involved in paganism. Huh? Folks go to these ball games and tear the stadium down. And they don't have any problem being clear, making clear to the world who they're serving. They're serving the God of sports. A blue t-shirt is their idol. And they'll worship that idol now for another few weeks until it once again runs down. But I'm telling you, I'm sure many of them wonder who we're worshiping this morning. Who our God is this morning. I'm telling you, if God is the Lord, then we ought to worship and praise Him in the house of God this morning. I want to be clear too, buddy. Amen. They don't mind out in the world letting us know who they're worshiping and praising. We ought to make it perfectly clear who our God is. Amen. If I catch any of y'all out there acting like that, I'll really nail you on Sunday morning. I'm not sure I wouldn't stand you up. Amen. We talk about them on the job. Or we talk about, we get out in the public and we'll talk about the Wildcats, but we cannot mention the name of the Lord. But we'll tell people how great the ball game is and can't mention God. Mrs. Hall and I went come out of the Cracker Barrel the other day, and some elderly woman, a young woman, come walking in there. That older woman, I mean, you could tell she is a Pentecostal faith. And she walked by us. I mean, son, she had that hair up in a bun, looked like a beehive on top of her head. Somebody say amen right there. And I'm going to tell you what that woman said. That woman walked by us and she said, "Hey, the Wildcats won." I said, "Miss Hall said, I hope they all lost." Had something to say, my friend, about their idol, but nothing to say about God. It is time that we woke up and let our breath that's out of our mouth praise our God for what He's done for us. Amen. Some of y'all look like calves in a new gate this morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you another word, another definition of that word, not only to be clear, but it also means another definition is to shine. And so when I come to church, I want to shine for Him. When I'm out in public, I want to shine for Him. Hey, it don't always just necessarily mean jumping up and down and hooting and a hollering, friend. But it does mean that we ought to let our light so shine before men that they can see our good works and glorify the God that saved us. We can praise Him in words. We can praise Him in worship. We can praise Him in our witness. We can praise Him at the church. We can praise Him at the shopping mall. Amen. Hallelujah. What's wrong with y'all tonight? Huh? Amen. Now stay with me. Where's the places? The places where we are to praise Him. Said in verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary." I promise you one thing. If you learn to praise Him here in church, I won't tell nobody about it. I won't embarrass you out in public. But I'm going to tell you what, if you learn to praise Him here, you might embarrass yourself out there. Amen. He said, praise Him in the sanctuary. But to Him be glory in the church. And I'm not talking about that when you can't see. Son, I am a local church man. I don't believe there are but one, and it's local and visible. Not some big blob out yonder you don't know where it's at. You'll catch up my slow freight after a while. Go to praise Him in the sanctuary, in the church. Amen. Secondly, we ought to praise Him in His strength. Said, praise Him in the firmament of His power. I believe that's the psalmist's way of saying because He has such power that He just sprinkled the stars out in the firmament of heaven. He spoke and the sun was put in its place. By the utterance of His lips, the moon began to shine. And at His word, the oceans remain in their place. I'm telling you, we've got a God of power that can speak and quicken a sinner's soul. He can speak and raise the dead. He can speak, my friend, and cleanse the leper. He can speak and open the eyes of the blind. And the psalmist said, praise Him in His strength this morning. Some of y'all's God's about as big as a marble. I mentioned the fact Friday night, Brother Smith, that God's a sovereign God. And I've seen some of them easy believers in boys' face. I've seen a smile go to a frown, and their chin got down on the floor. All you got to do is mention Him as being sovereign. And this easy believers in crowd labels you as a hyper-Calvinist or a fatalist. But He's a sovereign God. I'm going to tell you, if you make God big and you little, realize what God has done for you as big as He is and as little as you are. It'll make you want to praise Him. I have never figured out why God visited a little old, a barefoot, toe-headed boy up in southern Indiana, son, laying down in Patso Place and eating baked potatoes out of a campfire, building little old log cabins and crawling around in bib overhauls, praise God, smoking them old catapi worms and one thing and another, corn cob pipe, praise God. Amen, but I'm going to tell you, God loved a little old sinner boy like me. And came by where I was, I mean, He condescended, friend, to come to where I was and save me. No wonder I won't praise Him. Hallelujah. The sovereign God of the universe saw a little old towhead sinner boy living in rags, had absolutely nothing, and was destined for hell. But somewhere down the road on that broad way that led to destruction, woo! I had an encounter with the cross, son. I'm telling you, that great big God came down into that broad way and lifted me out by His grace. Turned me around and set me on that straight and that narrow way that leads unto life. No wonder I want to praise Him. Give me a Bible to read. Perfect Bible. Give me a church. Prepare a mansion over on the other side. No wonder the psalmist said, praise ye the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise Him for what He's done for you. Amen. I dare any one of you in here to stand up and testify. And tell me and the rest of the church that you're worse off now than you was before He saved you. Or that you got less now than you had before He saved you. You may not have all you think you ought to have, but I guarantee you, you've got as much as you can handle. You'll catch that after a while. Amen to God. And so the places we're to praise Him in the sanctuary and in His strength. And then how we're to praise Him. Notice what He said, let everything have breath. Son, my breath is coming out of my... I can feel it right now when I'm preaching bouncing off of my head. That tells me that I'm to praise Him with my mouth. Oh yes, my breath comes out of my mouth and I'm to praise Him with my mouth. Somebody said, I'll just be a silent praiser. Well, you might so. But I'm going to tell you, you've got a great big God in there. And you might be a silent praiser, but I'm going to tell you one of these days, God's going to get bigger than you are. That's right. And I'm going to tell you, that silent praise, son, is going to come out of the breath of your mouth. And you're going to have to say, hallelujah. Hallelujah, the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. I'm just trying to encourage us this morning. Some of y'all have been drew-fied long enough. I think God's getting ready to bring you out of it. We on our way to revival. I believe it with all my heart. We on our way to recovery. I believe it with all my heart. I believe we're going from pouting to praising. Son, we've pouted long enough. It's time to learn to praise our God. Amen. That's right. Amen. We're to praise Him with our mouth. I want Miss Holland and Money Bags over there. You young men on these instruments to come up here for just a second. Hallelujah to God. He said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But He also said, hey, we're not, hey, how we're to praise Him with our mouth. But He also said, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the strained instrument. Praise Him with strained instruments and organs. Oh, my. There we've got one, two, three, four strained instruments and an organ. Somebody said, I only see three. Son, look what a strange instrument in that piano we got. I'm simply saying not only praise Him with our mouth, but we ought to praise Him with our music. And it ought to be the right kind of music. I'm telling you, not the Cram family in that outfit, but it ought to be old-time psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Amen. Hell, we're going to praise Him on instruments for a while this morning. We should have had some cymbals. Somebody might want to dance a little while. Had an old black man up on the street several years ago said, Reverend, I'm not telling no joke now. He said, Reverend, what would you do if I come down at your church and done a holy dance? I said, well, I'd probably ask you to leave because I don't know your life. And I don't know where you're living. I don't know what you got in your heart. But I said, if some members of Island Ford Baptist Church, if they got up and done a little T-Bird shuffle, somebody said, Brother Hall, where do you get that from? I didn't want to embarrass some of you this morning, but in certain places in the Bible, that word praise means to twirl and spin and dance on one leg. Got any one-legged dancers in here this morning? Somebody said, you act like a fool. No, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We're going to praise Him on instruments a little while. He's been good to me. Praise Him because He loves me. Oh, yeah. I didn't know what this was going to play. I told her to play something. Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise Him on the instruments of 10 strings. Praise Him on the psaltery. Praise Him on the organ. Praise Him on the harp. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. One more verse of that, if you don't mind. Now listen, I said praise Him with the mouth, praise Him with music, but the Bible also said let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So we're to praise Him with our mouth, we're to praise Him with our music, we're to praise Him with the multitude, son. He didn't leave out nobody. If you're saved and have the breath of life in your heart today, praise the Lord for what He's done in your life. Amen. Yes, praise God. Hallelujah. We ought to come to church and go to church and leave like we've been in church. Not only the reason we're to praise, and not only the place and how, but the reason that we're to praise Him. He said in verse, and I'll find it here in a minute, number 2, praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him for His excellent greatness. Y'all can sit down. Hey, not only the place, and I saved this to last. It comes second, but I saved it to last because that's where I'm preaching from. Praise Him in the sanctuary. Praise Him in His strength. Praise Him with their mouth. Praise Him with their music. Praise Him with the multitude. But we are to praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him for His excellent greatness. I want to ask you something this morning. What kind of a mighty act has He done to give you a reason to praise Him? Boy, I'm glad you asked. Because I've got four of them written down this morning. I've had this a brewing all week, and I'm telling you, I had phone calls this morning. I said, I was getting ready. Miss Hall walked out there, and I was on the phone with Brother Matthias, and she said, I said, huh? And she, I walked in the other room when I got a phone. I said, well, I hope we prayed. I hope we shouted out this morning. She said, you better hope so. You ain't got nothing to preach. I said, you just don't know, honey. Wow, I've got meat to eat, son, that you know not of. Well, I've been in the holy place in my mind and in the holy place in my heart and had a talk with God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. What kind of mighty acts has He done for you that you ought to praise Him for? I've got four simple little old thoughts. And then we're going, I'm going to the Veterans Center. I don't know where you're going. But I want to say that, hey, one of the mighty acts, we ought to praise Him for the faith that He's given. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, that ain't much. Oh, that may not sound like much to you, but when you look at the book of 2 Thessalonians, my friend, and what God says there in 2 Thessalonians 3:2, when the Bible said, for all men have not faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God, and without faith it's impossible to see God, and without faith it's impossible to go to heaven. I'm telling you, that is a pretty marvelous and a wonderful act that God's done. When He gave you the gift of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Woo! And may I say today that every blessing of life flows from the gift of faith that God has given you. What a wonderful God, Benny. He's given you something other men don't have. He's blessed you with something everybody don't possess. When He's blessed you with faith. Saving faith. Sanctifying faith. Serving faith. Living faith. Dying faith. Going home faith. Hallelujah to God. The faith to have little babies that the world says you can't have. Woo! Son, I'm going to tell you. The faith to overcome the world. Faith to live a victorious life. Faith to praise our God for what He's done. Faith to bring joy in a home that is dead and discouraged. Faith, my friend, to bring hope where there is no hope. Faith to bring happiness where there is no joy. Faith to bring victory where there's despondency and defeat. Oh, not all men have faith, friend. Oh, bless His wonderful name. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what kind of faith is it? I'm glad you asked. I want to say, first of all, that it's a leading faith. I'm glad that I've got, hey, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. But grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. I'm telling you, friend, it's been by faith. I've been led all these years by faith in the Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me. It's a leading faith. The Bible said in Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. But it was faith that led him all the way. Woo! Not knowing where he was going. Didn't know what tomorrow held. Didn't know what the devil had in store. But I'm telling you, by faith, he just kept picking up one foot and putting it down in front of the other. And it was the faith that he had in God that called him out. Let me ask you something. Has God called you out? If God's called you out by faith, He's leading you by faith through this world and through this journey that we're in. And He's leading you on the way to that blessed promised land. He said by faith He sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. That's where we're at now, Brother Steve.
who we're sojourning in a land of promise. It's a strange country, but it's by faith that we're living in the world.
We're not of the world, but we are in this world, and we can overcome this world. Amen. Said dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Look here, I'm talking about a leading faith. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. No, that sucker was made out of wood, buddy. I'd ride it this morning. Amen to God. He's leading us to a city, friend, that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That leading faith of ours is going to lead us all the way into the portals of glory someday. Amen. Your faith leading you? Hallelujah. I got to hurry because you ain't going to make it, neither am I if we don't. Amen. I want to say that it's a leading faith. I want to say, number two, that it is a leaning faith. Who are you leaning on this morning? What are you leaning on this morning? Huh? Are you leaning on a broken reed? Are you leaning on something that can't stand? I'm going to tell you, when I read this about old Jacob, I liked to have a running fit. The Bible said by faith in Hebrews 11:21, Jacob when he was a-dying. Woo! Jacob when he was a-dying. Blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped. And what was he doing? Leaning upon a staff. I'm telling you, son, the faith that we have is a leaning faith. Thank God it'll carry you through. Brother, you can lean on it and trust it. Amen. I learned that. I looked that word leaning up, and it means a rod of royalty or a rod of power. Somebody said, what are you getting that preacher? Hey, I believe what he's saying is there that when he come time to die, when old Jacob was a dying, he wasn't leaning on his own strength. But son, he was leaning upon the strong arm of royalty. Yeah. On the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The only wise potentate, my friend. I'm telling you, that's his way of saying this faith of ours will cause you to lean upon the Lord. Behold, who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness? Lean in upon her, beloved. I'm here to tell you, son, there's a faith this morning. Brother, thank God we can lean on. Hallelujah. Reason some of y'all can't praise God. You ain't leaning on Him. You trying to stand in your own power. And you as despondent, discouraged, and defeated, bless God, as that woman sitting in that Cracker Barrel yesterday. Huh? And some of you's running a contest. Some of you seeing who can hold out the longest, you or me. You're a loser either way, because the Lord's done come by my way. I've done been revived, friend. You can either come along and enjoy the promised land. Some of y'all, sit in worship service and sit there, done like a face of a zombie. But somebody starts talking to you between church, right? You just smile, just nod, just grin, just carry on. Hey, come on in the house now. I'm going to tell you why, because that's carnal mess you're involved in there. I'm going to tell you something, son. You come to the house of God, some of you cannot lean on that staff and worship. Can I spit on her, honey? What was you doing? Leaning on that staff. Hey, you're going to have to lean on faith to worship. I'm going to tell you why he could lean on that staff and worship when he was a-dying. And was a-dying and had a blessing. Can you get a hold of that? Here is a dying man that ought to be looking for sympathy. But rather than looking for sympathy, he's trying to be a blessing to somebody else. What was it your daddy said to that nurse up there, Sister Woodard? There's a man dying. The nurse come in there talking to him. He said, don't worry about me, ma'am. He said, I want to know about your soul. How you doing?
There's a man leaning on his staff and worshiping God.
Amen.
Amen. And trying to bless somebody else while he's a dying son. That tells me he's a leaning on faith.
Amen.
The faith that he's lived by. The faith that he's walked by all of his life.
Amen.
Amen. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. Why? For faith. Leading faith. Leaning faith. Leaning on the rod of royalty. Leaning on the rod of His power. That staff that Moses had was a rod of power.
Woo!
I'm having fun. Praise God. Now I won't say, no, hey, it's a leading faith and a leaning faith. But I won't say it's a lasting faith. Don't nobody leave me now. Somebody said, what do you mean? Hebrews 11:39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I'm going to tell you what it is, friend. It's a lasting faith. But somebody said, what about this crowd that's falling by the wayside? But what about this crowd that's departing? Stronger faith. Well, Brother Paul said, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I want you to hear me well, friend. Hey, lasting faith. When you make a decision for Jesus Christ and you've got lasting faith, you will never go back away from that decision you've made. Some of y'all look blue. Faith is like a fish hook, Brother Rick, in the mouth of that big mouth bass. It's going to bring you to land, son. That bass may flop in the water a little bit, but he's coming to land. Because he's got a hook set in his mouth. Something you can't get away from. And I'm telling you, faith is something you cannot get away from. If it's saving faith, son, it's a lasting faith. That'll hook you hook, line, and sinker, buddy. And the good grace of God will drag you all the way to the shore. Aren't you glad of that? Son, I'm telling you, let the Armenians believe what they will. I know whom I have believed. Now I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. But I'm telling you, we're living in a day when some are departing from the faith. They made a decision. But all of a sudden, they've got new light. More light. They made a decision. They come out from amongst them, but they got so much light, they went right back to the old hog pen that they come out of. I'm going to tell you what they got, friend. I'm going to tell you what they ain't got. Faith. I'm going to tell you I love Brother Andy with all my heart. But I tell him right to these God-given eyeballs and the rest of you with him. If you ever go back to that outfit in southern Indiana you come out of, I'm going to tell you what I'll leave you. You're lost, man.
Amen.
It is a lasting faith. Some of you ever go back to where you came out of, I'll label you lost. That is right. And some of you have lost what I'm preaching on this morning. And it may be that what you had wasn't lasting. Apparently it wasn't lasting because you don't have it now. Some of you used to testify, praise God. I'm going to praise Him for the faith He gave me. It ain't run down. I'm running on high test, son. I got 1040 oil in me. Woo! 93 grade octane, son. And I'm going to tell you, I'm driving a supercharged engine. Hallelujah. You better believe it. I'm not a looking back. I'm not looking over the fence to another pasture. I'm well satisfied grazing in the green pastures that He spread for me. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Come on in the house, boys and girls. I tell you, I've got a faith this morning that will endure trials, that will endure troubles, it will endure hardships and testings.
And I tell you all something, I'm not telling you this for you simply. I don't want you simply. But I'm going to tell you what God told me on Wednesday. God told me Wednesday night why He's given me the disease I have. And I tell you what, I've told you what I thought it was. He confirmed it on Wednesday night. God's going to make me an example. God is going to let me show you that God's grace is perfect for every aspect of our life, buddy. Amen. Can I tell you this, that you're feeling sorry for me? I'm telling you, I felt so bad some when we got up there the other night, I thought I was going to die. You can ask this hall. I had pains running through my legs, pains running through my arms, pains running up through my chest. I was peaked, pale, and gray. I talked to Brother Billy Ball on the telephone. We come out of that room. Brother Billy Ball said, "Preacher, what's wrong with you?" I told my wife, "I got a phone. You're not feeling well. You're sick. You're tired. You wore out. What's the problem?" I'm going to say, I never felt so bad in all my life. We got in on that Wednesday night. I told Miss Hall, I said, "Baby, I don't know where the VA hospital is right here, but I believe it might be checking out time." That's how bad I felt. And I'm going to tell you, I started feeling a little bit better. Amen. And when I preached on Friday night, son, it was like holy oil down in my soul. It just kept me going. Oh, you listen to me, I'm feeling pretty good this morning too, by the way. Hallelujah to God. And I'm going to tell you, God gave me, took me back that old verse and said, "Your times are in my hands, buddy. Oh yeah, I'll take you down and raise you up, and I'll make an example out of you to that crowd up there that you're preaching to. That crowd, every time they get gas on their stomach, they want to stay at the house. Or every time they get heartburn, they come to church and just despondent and dead. And every time they have a little spat, a little trouble thing, God said, I'll just make you an example to them. I'll make you instant in season out of season. I ain't never kissed her in the mouth yet. There it goes, old boy. I couldn't resist that. She's just pretty now. That's all you can say. Are you listening? I won't keep you much longer now. Over an hour and a half. Why I want to praise God. Some of the things why I want to praise Him. Let everything hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I want to, hey. Some have departed from the faith and some are trying to destroy your faith. But it'll last. It'll go on. It'll continue on. I want to say secondly, some things why I want to praise Him. The faith that He's given. Number one, because of the forgiveness of sins. Will you listen to this very carefully this morning while I read you this? If you want to turn there, you can. Psalm 130, verse number 3. If the Lord should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But, son, thank God for that little three-letter word. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait. And in His Word do I hope. I'm telling you, friend, thank God for the forgiveness of sins. For if God would circle your sin and your iniquity, you wouldn't stand today. You would slide off down into the pit, into hell. But God, Son, has forgiven all of your sins, all of your trespasses. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, why do we praise Him over that? Three things, very quickly. When He forgave us of our sins, the load was lightened. Isn't that simple? But I thought about Brother Brown preaching on them two donkeys, Abraham, and loading that wood upon them two donkeys, which is a type of sin. And them old donkeys probably didn't do a thing but follow Abraham. Abraham and Isaac didn't know where they was going, but they followed the Father and the Son. They said, I guarantee you one thing, the Father knows where I'm going. I tell you, when God started working in some of your lives, you had no idea what God, some of you didn't even know it was God. And some of you didn't realize God was leading you or where God was taking you, but I'm telling you, there come a point in the time when you realize the Father and the Son was leading you to a particular destination. And like them two little old donkeys there, you went with the wood of the sacrifice for him up on your back, carrying all the load of your sin, all the guilt of your sin, all the condemnation of your sin. But I can see them two little old donkeys, buddy, when they got to the base of Moriah and standing there under their load, and their old knees was about to bow. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, I had held up under my sin about as long as I could. I carried that load about as long as I could bear it. Now I'll never forget that glorious day, didn't he? Hallelujah to God. Just like an old dumb donkey, son, that's what I was. Just like that little donkey that the Lord rode down into Jerusalem. Hallelujah to God. He emptied my load of sin and sat out on my back with all of the grace of God. I traded my sin for a glorious Savior. Hallelujah to God. And He's been around me ever since. He's not a heavy taskmaster either. I can hold Him up, but I couldn't hold that sin. Are you listening? Why? Why I want to praise God for forgiveness of sin. He's lighting that load, buddy. That load I carried is gone. And I can imagine them little old donkeys standing there. Abraham said, son. Isaac said, yes, father. He said, them donkeys can't go up side of that mountain. And said, I'm too old to carry that sin, that wood. But said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to have to put that wood on you. I'm going to put that wood on you. And I can imagine them two old donkeys stood at the foot of that mountain looking up wondering. There's a dark cloud settled in on that mountain for some reason. I can't see a thing. So I'm about ready to have he said, that old one over. He said, yeah, I know it's dark up there. And I've been here and I'm hearing voices. I don't know what in the world is going on up there. I heard one of them. I heard one voice say, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. And then I heard the son say, father, something like this. I heard that young boy's voice say, forgive them, for they know not what to do. You know, I heard the father say, son, lay down on the altar of sacrifice. And I don't know how, but he's going to have to get that wood back down the mountain somewhere. You know, it's a long way back to the house, and we got to carry that load of wood all the way back to the house. And hey, it wasn't long. Here come old Abraham and Isaac. The wood was burned, and the sacrifice of that old ram on the other side of the mountain became a substitute. I imagine that one old donkey looked over to the other and said, wonder where that wood's at. The other said, praise God, I don't know, but said, I heard the father say something like this, son, I'm going to say something. That wood we stayed there until the sacrifice was completely consumed, the fire was burning, and all the wood was burned up, and ain't nothing left but to go back down the mountain now. That one old donkey looked over and said, now my goodness, said, no wonder what, they'll put something on her back. They'll put something on our back and make us carry that load all the way back to the house. And I can imagine. I can imagine when they're headed back to Abraham's house. Or Abraham said, come on, donkeys, we're going home. And that one said, praise God. Son, I'm going to tell you something. I feel a lot lighter. I did wonder what happened. Wonder what happened to that wood. And if they could talk, they might have said, Abraham, where's the wood? I'm sure Abraham said, it's gone! What wood are you talking about? Son, I want to praise Him this morning because of the forgiveness of sin, brother. He has lightened my load. Amen. I even thought about this. Now, this will probably throw some of your loop. I ain't never heard it, and I'm not going to say it's all biblical. But I thought about this. The Father's work all takes place in heaven. But the Son and the Holy Ghost, they do some work on this earth. And I thought maybe when the Father and the Son come back down off of that mountain, and them old donkeys standing there, I thought maybe the Father said, Son, said you get on one donkey, and Holy Ghost, you get on the other, and praise God, we'll head back to the house. And they're there with us today. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I'm going to tell you, we traded that load of wood for the person of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I didn't get that out of nobody's book. Amen. I won't say the load is lightened. May I say, secondly, in forgiveness of sin, not only is the load lightened, but liberty is achieved. Where did we read from a few weeks ago in Luke number 7? There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 200 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both.
Amen.
Have you ever got out from under a debt?
Have you ever walked down to the bank and wrote a check and said, "Sir, here's the last payment"?
That old car out there is mine. Honey, it's ours at last. We're debt free. Don't owe anybody a dime, sweetheart. Praise God, don't it feel good to have some liberty?
Yeah.
Know that we don't owe that debt anymore.
I tell you, we were debtors to Christ. We had a debt we could not pay, but He frankly forgave us of all of it.
We're out from under the debt, out from under the load.
Amen.
Brother Jerome, if I knew it wouldn't hurt you, I could pull your whiskers this morning. I feel so good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. The load is lightened. Liberty is achieved. But may I say that our life was rearranged.
Rearranged our life by the forgiveness of sin. Son, I'm telling you, that sin was a taskmaster that led us according to this world and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind. And we're by nature the sinners of wrath, even as others.
But God help me, church. I'm about to have a running fit.
But God, who is rich in mercy,
for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners,
Christ died.
Wherefore, being buried with Him in baptism, we are raised in a newness of life.
We should not obey the lust of the flesh.
But we ought to reckon ourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto God.
Why? Because He's forgiven you. Y'all hear me this morning now? You that worry about that voice that continues to tell you that God didn't do that for you, that God didn't forgive you, that you're still out yonder in your sin and one of these days it'll carry you to hell. You know who that is telling you that. You know whose voice that is. I'm going to tell you what He said. Frankly, forgive them both. I'm going to tell you what He said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did. I'm going to tell you what He said.
In whom we have redemption through His blood. No, even the forgiveness of sins.
That's what He says. Oh, no wonder I want to praise Him. I was carrying a big load, bound up in sin. My life was just in a mess, going down the tube. Sis's life was miserable. Family's life was miserable. Jesus passed by a sinner one day with an issue of blood. I know it says woman, but I'm saying sinner. The Bible does say, hey. He He had spent all his had. So the story is told. Oh, but when he touched his garment, he was made whole. And guess what? And he's still passing by. Oh, he's still passing by. He's still showing mercy today. The blood that he shed on Calvary's tree still washes my sins all away. Woo! I've got something to praise him for. I praise him on the organ. Praise him on the guitar. I praise him on the piano. Praise him with the loud music and multitude. And everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Amen to God. I want to say amen to God. I don't know about this crowd, but I feel revived. Billy Ball, you can tell the egg sucker I said this. He's preaching Armenian Bible doctrine. He sprinkled that crowd down there on Thursday morning. Son, it hit some older woman in the face as he went. You got me and sis pretty good? I just sat there and looked at him. I told him when he got done, I said, "What do you say, Armenian?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You went to sprinkling now, ain't you?" Hallelujah. I've got two more points. The reason I want to praise you for it, I'm about to run out of steam. The Father has, the faith He has given the forgiveness of our sin, and number three, and I'll be hurried with these. The fatherhood of God. Have you ever thought about God, your Father? He's not your enemy anymore. God is not at enmity with us anymore. But Christ has slain the enmity and reconciled us to God and made peace. Made us His child. And because, and by the way, they ain't nothing. I know a mother's love is wonderful, but friend, they ain't nothing like a father's love. Tammy, give me that little old thing in there in my office years ago when it said, anybody can be a father. It takes somebody special to be a daddy. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you something, friend. There ain't nothing like a daddy's love. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what. We left here on Tuesday night and went to the backyard and got us a little burger. Me and Miss Hall and Benny and Angie was up there, and when we all left, they kind of went out first. They got in their vehicle, and I walked out and opened the door for Miss Hall and started to walk around and said something to Benny. And he said, "Wait a minute, Daddy," and he jumped out of that car. Run over and put his arms around my neck and hugged my neck. Said, "Bye, Daddy, I love you." Went over and hugged Miss Hall and said, "Love you, Mama. See you when you get back." And I'm going to tell you, when I got in that car, I said, "Sweetheart, just to hear one of my kids, little old Lisa, on that telephone when she called the house or I called down there, you say, 'See, not Daddy. Daddy.'"
Right.
I told Miss Hall, I said, "When I hear one of them young and just say the word Daddy, boy, it just makes me feel like running a marathon." Buddy, that's a word that just, I mean, it just moves in my heart to hear either one of my three youngins call me Daddy. Little old Philip says, "Papa, pal." Son, I'm going to tell you, if that don't do something, don't do something for you, Brother Robert, one of them little youngins crawls up on your lap. I don't know what they call you, Poppy or Papa, Grandpa, Pappy, huh? Papa. Don't that do something? You know it does. You know it does. And one of them little old youngins crawls up on Daddy or Grandpa's lap. And I'm going to tell you something. They feel secure. They feel loved. They feel warm. They feel protected. That's the way we are. That's the way we are in His arms.
There's not acting like a father's love, son. I'm telling you, we're under the watch care, the protection, the provisions of our Father.
No wonder we can praise Him. Praise Him for His love. Boy, I didn't know it was this late. I'm going to tell you something else. Come up here, Benny. Stand right there, son, if you would, please. Turn around. Turn around. Do you all see any resemblance at all? Be truthful. Is there any resemblance at all? Somebody tell me. You see any resemblance at all? Listen to me. Praise Him for the fatherhood of God. Not only in it because of His love, but because of our love.
Son, He is making us like Him!
Now, He may not want to be, but there ain't a greater desire in my heart for Him to grow up and be like me. I want Him to be a preacher hammered down, running wide open, buddy. I want to be like His daddy.
Son, hey, can you imagine that God is doing a work on us to make us like Him?
Amen.
And He's given us a Father's care and the Holy Ghost and a Mother's care, I'm telling you.
He is wonderful. Hallelujah. His love, His likeness, and His living. Can't read what I wrote. Children don't. Where's my glasses, boys? Brother Albert Hardin, 70 years old, don't even use wear glasses. I'm telling you, he's like Moses. Eyes not dim, his natural force of babies. I've never seen a man 70 years old as strong as him. Children don't lay up for their father. With the fathers for the children. His love, His likeness, and His living. Amen. Me and Benny can go to Whitaker's. Of course, I know he's just joking. He's there going to buy anything today? I don't know, Benny. I got about all I can use. I'm getting old, you know. One of these days, I'm going to be going to say, well, go ahead and buy nothing. I said, you can just lay it up and give it to me when you go. But I'm telling you, in reality, Father's done for us. When He came to this earth and died, He just started laying up things for us children. Our living. I want to praise Him for that, man. Hey, is a better day coming. And the fourth and last reason why I want to praise Him is the family. And I want to say this, both physical and spiritual.
Amen.
Their loyalty and their labor. My children have been very loyal to me. The people that's members of this church right now have been very loyal to me. I walked in that house last night. Around in the house and walked upstairs. And I walked down, I told Miss Hart, she said, you know, I don't know many churches, many pastors. Where ladies would come by and do that, ladies. I walked up there on the table and there was a little note. All you ladies know she signed it. Said something like, Preacher and Mrs. Hart, thank you for trusting us to come in your home and to be a blessing to you or something like that. And I thought, Lord, they're not even members of my family. But it didn't bother me a bit for them to be in my house.
don't have nothing over to hide from. And I thought, there ain't another family I know of in the world like that. And I don't know about a family like that. And we are a family. My children are my family. I'm telling you, friend, I can praise God for it. Honestly. I go to some churches and I see women, some of their hair is so short they look like a bristle mop. They look like one of them, as Miss Sharon calls them, a Worcester or whatever they are. Slits up their tail ends. Look like you've gone to a fashion show. Men come in, got them slicked up, greased up hairdos. Come back home. Say, Lord have mercy, what a difference. What a difference. I'm going to tell you, friend, it's because it's a different family. And there ain't no two families alike. I can praise God for you. I mean that. I can praise God for you. Praise you, Lord. Let everything have praise. Praise. Praise ye. Let's stand together.